George, this is a great question. And employee engagement can be defined as many different ways as there are employees on the planet. But for the purposes of our conversation, let's look at the most recent research from Gallup. This research is less than 1 week old. Okay? Less than 1 week old. And this research looked at 60,000 Americans. And then they also went global with their study. And what they found is that 77%, I'm going to repeat that, 77% of employees are either not engaged or are actively disengaged. This is quiet quitting in the first bucket and loud quitting in the second bucket. 77% of employees aren't engaged. So that's the scale of the problem. What do I mean by engagement? I mean, when the employee comes to work, are they giving the best version of themselves? When the employee comes to work, do they feel a sense of purpose? Do they have a clear understanding of their role in the organization, their requirements of what they need to do, but most importantly, their responsibilities within the organization and their relationships within the organization? Who fails if they fail? One of the things most employees don't understand is if you drop the ball in the middle of this relay race, it means that three people after you don't get to win, and the two people that came before you, their work is for naught. Employees need to understand the four R's: roles, requirements, responsibilities, and relationships. That's what I mean by engagement.
The smartest marketers from all walks of life, in every industry, talking about the latest trends, opportunities, and challenges. Insights from marketing executives at organizations like National Geographic, IBM, and the Baltimore Ravens. And tips from business authors and experts known around the world. Ways to improve your community's marketing, starting now, right here on the Marketing Smarts Podcast.
All right, Marketing Smarts listeners, are you ready to unlock the power of your employees? We're going to be talking about unlocking the power of employee engagement. We're also going to talk about strategies for remarkable experiences and effective onboarding. And today, I'm super excited to have my friend Joey Coleman on the Marketing Smarts podcast with us. We're going to talk about what keeps Joey up at night when it comes to remarkable experiences, employee engagement, onboarding, and all those things. We're going to really break it down to employee engagement, remarkable experiences. What the heck does he mean when we use both of those terms? We're going to talk about success, hurdles. We're going to talk about all sorts of things that you may be able to leverage for your business and your marketing team. And of course, we're going to get some words of wisdom along the way. Now, Joey Coleman helps companies keep their customers and employees. As an award-winning speaker, he shares his first 100 days methodology for improving customer and employee retention with organizations around the world. Folks like Whirlpool, Volkswagen, Australia, and Zappos. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Australia. His two books have received critical acclaim and both were instant Wall Street Journal bestsellers. Never Lose a Customer Again shows how to turn any sale into a lifelong customer. And his newest book, Never Lose an Employee Again, details a framework companies around the world can use to reduce turnover and increase employee engagement. Of course, we need to hear a word from our sponsor. And then after that, we're going to get into the good stuff.
Are you looking for great curated content specific to you, the B2B marketer? Want to have fun while also learning valuable information to help you succeed on a daily basis? Then you're in luck. Look no further. This week's Marketing Smarts podcast is brought to you by the Marketing Smarts Live Show. That's right, you can join us live every Monday where we shine the spotlight on you, the community members, share fresh B2B news, several top-notch curated articles to help you be a better marketer, and of course, have tons of fun along the way. If you want even more B2B marketing education with the ability to ask questions and engage with the rest of the audience, tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern for the Marketing Smarts Live Show. You won't regret the additional B2B learning you'll be adding to your life. Now, let's get back to this episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast.
I hope you're ready to rock and roll. I hope you're ready to take notes. Let's start unlocking. Let's start creating remarkable experiences. And let's start thinking about effective onboarding with Joey Coleman. Let's get into the good stuff. Hey, Marketing Smarts listeners, it's your boy, George B. Thomas, and today I am, can you be quadruply excited? I don't know, but I am, because today I get to sit down and have a conversation with a good friend for many years of mine, Joey Coleman, and we're talking about unlocking the power of employee engagement strategies for remarkable experiences. Let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen, as we get started, do you need remarkable experiences in your life? Do your clients need remarkable experiences? Do your employees need remarkable experiences? These are the things that I want you to think about as we get started with this. But first of all, Joey, how the heck are you doing, brother?
George, I got to say, it is a thrill to be back here. I match your quadruple level excitement, and I will double that quadruple level to octuple level excitement for our conversation. I am super thrilled to be here and really appreciate everybody listening in. I know you've got rock star, super smart marketers that listen to this podcast and just amazing humans in general. So I'm thrilled about our conversation.
It's going to be amazing. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're not excited right now, you should just check your pulse. So, Joey, one of the things I like to do when we get started on these Marketing Smarts podcast episodes, I like to ask fun questions along the way. But the first one, when we're talking about employee engagement, when we're talking about remarkable experiences, when we're talking about effective onboarding and many other things that are in your book, and we'll talk about your book in a minute, what keeps you up at night? Is it a nightmare? Is it a dream? What is that thing that you're like, ah, and it keeps you up at night around this topic?
George, I love this question. I'll answer that it is a dream in response to a nightmare. So here's the thing. You can't turn on the TV today or open a newspaper or a business magazine without reading about the great resignation or quiet quitting or disengaged employees or massive layoffs or the conversely, huge difficulty finding talent. If you have driven through a fast food joint quick serve restaurant is how they like to say it in the industry, in the last 6 months, you have seen a sign saying, we will pay you gajillion dollars to come flip burgers. I mean, I've seen signs that are like $23.50 starting wage, full benefits, vesting on day one of your work. There is a crisis, not only in the United States, but globally, when it comes to the workplace. And that crisis is people know now, post-COVID, that the employers have no clothes. And what I mean by that is for many, many decades, we were operating under this, frankly, fiction that the employers cared as much about us as we cared about them in devoting the time. And what we saw during COVID is some were brilliant examples of taking care of their people, but a lot really weren't. And now the marketplace has spoken. We live in a completely different economy. We live in a completely different planet in terms of connectivity and the freedom people have to navigate between positions. And so that's the nightmare. But here's my dream. I know there's a way to fix this problem. And the way to fix this problem isn't just Joey's idea. This is backed by scientific research for decades. Research that shows if your employees are engaged, if your employees have gone through a strong onboarding process, if your employees feel a sense of autonomy and a sense of impact with their work, they will not only bring 100% of themselves to the office, but they will be committed to you long term because of the feeling they get. So my hope is to bridge the dream of what's possible. We know it's possible. It's been proven with the practical reality most employers are dealing with right now, which is a nightmare when it comes to employee experience and employee engagement.
So good. On fire already in the first section of the podcast.
Well, you got a fire going in the background there, George. I saw the fire burning in the fireplace behind, and I'm like, holy cow, brother, we're recording this conversation in the summer, and I'm looking at this going, well, George is hot. I better bring the thunder.
There you go. Well, we try to keep it nice and cozy here on the Marketing Smarts podcast for sure. And folks, if you're like, what in the world is Joey talking about? You need to make sure you check out the Marketing Smarts live show. We use clips. And because he referenced the fireplace, I'll make sure for the first time ever to add a clip of me into the marketing. Well, there's always clips because I'm actually doing the show. You'll see the fire in the show. So there you go. Now, Joey, I am going to just kind of kick onto my nerdy side for a second because you referenced in that first section about the owners have no clothes. Was that a kickback to the Emperor's New Clothes like child story that you are referencing?
100%, brother. This theory, you know, that the emperor has no clothes, the leader has no coat. When we realize that the person running the organization doesn't have all the answers we thought they had. Here's the thing, because this statement could be very easily misinterpreted. I'm a fellow business owner. I have employees. I understand the challenges of being a business owner. I've been in business for over 20 years. My wife's been an entrepreneur longer than I have. So I've been around this world of trying to run a small to medium-sized business and understanding the challenges with that. The issue, I think, is this. I think most employers actually care deeply about their people. They really do. Their nightmare staying up at night is, how am I going to make payroll? How am I going to make sure I don't burn out my people? How am I going to make sure we have enough staff on this project to get the work done, but still be profitable, but not totally abuse our folks? I think most employers come to their work from that perspective. The problem is, most employees don't know that. And the reason the employees don't know that is twofold. Number one, they've never been employers. Most people who are employees have never and will never be employers. And most people who are employers, it's been a really, really long time since they've been an employee. So how can I fully connect with what it's like to be an employee when my context, when my reference point for that is 2+ decades old? I've got to work overtime to do that. And I think the secret is, employers need to spend more time showing that they care instead of telling they care. You referenced the kids movie, right? The animated movie about the Emperor's New Groove and no clothes and this type of thing. Here's the thing. Most employers happily tell their employees they care, but do they show them? Do I have tangible data proof points that you care? Physical, digital, emotional proof points that you actually think I matter? Or, as is the case with most employers, your paycheck should be enough to show that I care, right? I pay you every 2 weeks. Folks, a paycheck is the ante up chips to sit down at the table. It does not win you the hand. It allows you to play the game.
Oh, so good. So good. All right. So, Joey, one of the things I like to do on the Marketing Smarts podcast is level set so that everybody understands for the rest of the questions that we ask, they know exactly what we mean. Because you could say something, I could say something, we could mean something totally different. So let's break it down a little bit. Two micro questions that I want to ask you. One is, when we say, and the title said, employee engagement, how do you define that as part of the conversation as we move forward?
George, this is a great question. And employee engagement can be defined as many different ways as there are employees on the planet. But for the purposes of our conversation, let's look at the most recent research from Gallup. This research is less than 1 week old. Okay, less than 1 week old. And this research looked at 60,000 Americans. And then they also went global with their study. And what they found is that 77%, I'm going to repeat that, 77% of employees are either not engaged or are actively disengaged. This is quiet quitting in the first bucket and loud quitting in the second bucket. 77% of employees aren't engaged. So that's the scale of the problem. What do I mean by engagement? I mean, when the employee comes to work, are they giving the best version of themselves? When the employee comes to work, do they feel a sense of purpose? Do they have a clear understanding of their role in the organization, their requirements of what they need to do, but most importantly, their responsibilities within the organization and their relationships within the organization? Who fails if they fail? One of the things most employees don't understand is, if you drop the ball in the middle of this relay race, it means that three people after you don't get to win, and the two people that came before you, their work is for naught. Employees need to understand the four R's: roles, requirements, responsibilities, and relationships. That's what I mean by engagement.
Man, I feel like I want to clip that section out and deliver to employers so that they could ask their employees to watch that segment and grade them on the way that they feel on the things that you just said. Listen, Marketing Smarts listeners, if you don't rewind that, write down the notes and realize that Joey just gave you a framework of what you should care about. Well, don't turn it off, because we're going to keep going. Joey, second micro question. When we say remarkable experiences, how do you define this as part of the conversation that we're going to have moving forward around unlocking the power of all of this?
I think the operative word in this phrase, George, even though I love the word experience, experience has been bread and butter for my life and my business for 50 years, but 20 plus professionally, it's remarkable is the one we got to focus on. And here's the definition of remarkable: that is worthy of talking about. worthy of making a remark about. So stop and ask yourself this. When your employees go home for work tonight and they walk in the house and they see their spouse, their significant other, their partner, their children, their parents, their roommate, whoever it is, or they're driving home or they're walking home and they're calling their loved ones and they say, "How was work today?" Are they going to answer with something remarkable? Or are they going to say, "Living the dream," biting sarcasm, or "Same silliness, different day," although they're not going to say silliness, right? The family show here, George. I'm going to do my best. But you get the point, right? So are you giving your employees things to regularly talk about that are remarkable? Now, before any employer listening says, "Joey, nice pipe dream, chief. We got to run a business here. We got to make money. We got to operate. We got to function." I get it. But if you go to the average employee on your team, the typical employee on your team, any employee on your team, and you say, "When was the last time that you felt that something that happened at work was remarkable?" And they struggle to remember. Brother, we got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do.
Such a good conversation. Okay, so this next question, I fully understand it could be the four R's. It could be something totally different than the four R's. If it is the same, it is at least a good gateway for you to dive further into those four R's. And so, Joey, I'll just ask the question. What are the key elements that B2B marketers, and I'm just going to say slash companies, because I know this podcast episode is going to go way past the marketer, because Marketing Smarts listeners, this is probably an episode that you do share with your boss, with the C-suite, and get people to listen and understand what conversations need to be having. But back to the question. What are some of the key elements that B2B marketers slash companies should be paying attention to when focusing on employee engagement and creating remarkable experiences for an effective, and I'm going to get specific here, onboarding process?
George, this is a great question that we could spend 20 hours answering, but I'm going to do my best to try to answer it in under 2 minutes. The reason I wrote the book, Never Lose an Employee Again, is because most organizations don't focus on every aspect, every phase of the employee journey. I believe there are 8 phases that you need to pay attention to. By the way, phase number 1, the assess phase, starts with the job advertisement or the position posting. It starts before the person's even come into your hiring process. That is the first volley of, are you creating remarkable experiences? And it extends to the final phase, the 8th phase, the advocate phase, when you have a loyal, raving fan employee who is actively and proactively going on sites like Glassdoor to write reviews of how awesome you are. And anytime you have an open position, they're trying to get the smartest, best people they've ever worked with at any company to come apply at your company. So the big thing that most organizations miss is they think of onboarding as 1 or 2 days. Onboarding is an employee experience. It lasts the tenure of that employee's time with you. And I would actually posit it goes even beyond their time of being an employee, but we can dive into that separately. So the reality is most businesses aren't paying attention to the full journey. The last thing I'll say, and forgive me, George, because I love you like a brother. And I understand that so many of our listeners are firmly ensconced in, hey, we do B2B marketing. I love you all dearly, but you become so focused on B2B that you've forgotten H to H. It's human to human. I get that you sell to businesses, but you know who's in those businesses? Humans. I get that your people are selling a B2B product, but you know what your people are? Humans. What we need to realize is that our focus on the transactional is creating opportunities to miss the transformational. Our focus on recurring revenue is missing the opportunity to create relationships and an ROI that is based on how I feel when I interact with my coworkers, my colleagues, and my clients, as opposed to how many sales did I get this week?
I mean, no, I love it because, first of all, I am a huge advocate. It's always about the humans. If that is your starting point, you will end up in the winner's circle at the end of the day. Oh, I could go so much further, but that's not why we're here. I want you to do this for me, Joey. What are some, because I love the show, by the way, Mythbusters. I could watch that over and over again. If there's a marathon on, my wife knows, just like, yep, let me go shopping, spend all his money. He'll never know he's watching Mythbusters. But with today's topic, what is a common myth? And it could be around engagement, employees, experiences, being remarkable, onboarding, whatever it is. What on the Marketing Smarts podcast show would you be like, this myth I hate and I want to debunk it right now?
Oh, tough. I feel like I need a season. Not an episode of Mythbusters, George, all right? I need a season to talk all about them. All right, let me see. Okay, oh, so many good choices to pick from. Here's a myth that drives me insane. Most organizations think that somewhere between day 8 on the job and day 30 on the job, you should be all good. You should be up and running. You should understand how things are going. You should be producing. You should be able to function on your own. That is not true at all. And the person who thinks that, you didn't apply that same standard to your onboarding and growth and development and skill set acquisition, yet you're applying that fictional ROI metric to the people that are joining your team. How long does it take you to feel comfortable in an entirely new situation? Some of the most resilient, most adaptive, most flexible humans I know don't truly feel comfortable until they're in month 3 or 4 or 6 or 12. I used to practice law. I'm a recovering attorney. First step, admitting you have a problem. There's 11 steps after that. And here's the thing. 5 years into being a trial attorney, I finally felt like I was starting to understand a little bit about how it worked. 5 years later, I'm 50 years old, 20 years of running my own business, and I can list out the topics that I know I need to learn more about is much, much longer than the topic of things that I think I've figured out. Your employees are the same way. Onboarding is not measured by days on the calendar. It's measured by intentionality over the tenure of the relationship. What are you doing to continue to invite that person into the fold, to engage them, to get them enmeshed and wired within your brand spirit, your offerings? Are you bringing in decision makers or are you bringing rule followers? So many companies think that the secret is go hire rule followers. I'm sorry, friends, in 2023, if you are hiring rule followers, great. You are approaching your business from an industrial revolution mindset that is beautiful if you're making widgets and running a factory and competing on quantities and efficiencies. But in this day and age, that's not what you're competing on. Hate to break it to you, you're not. Because the race on price is a race to the bottom. The race on quality is over. We do expect high quality. If we're not getting high quality, why are we even having this conversation? The race is built around experience. Are the interactions you're creating remarkable? And if you want your people to create remarkable experiences for your customers, they better know what the hell one is. And the way they're going to know what one is by how they feel treated by you, their employer.
Yeah, so good. And I agree with you. There's probably so many days, months, years that we could have around this topic. So I want to give you a chance before we continue back down the road of the questions that I want to ask you today, Joey. I want you to talk about the book. You've referenced it once, I think, but I want you to talk about the book, give it the name, where people can find it. But more importantly, I want you to let us know who is it for, what they'll get out of it. And I want you to end with this. What is your Joey Coleman's big hope that when people read the book, it ends up in XYZ?
I love it. So the book is called Never Lose an Employee Again. One of the things that was really important to me when the book came out is that it was available in all the formats that people like to consume books. So if you like to hold a book in your hand and read a hardcover and take notes in the margins, you're good to go. If you like to see it on your Kindle or your Nook and an e-reader and to highlight things as you go, you're good to go. If you like the sound of my voice in this conversation and you like listening to audiobooks, you're good to go because I narrate the book, okay? So it's available in any format. This book is a collection of over 50 case studies from all 7 continents. That was really important to me, George, and it was really important to me to come back to that humans are humans conversation because this stuff works globally. In a remote environment where we've got people, maybe one of the case studies in the book, they have 30 plus employees across 17 time zones globally. If they can make employee engagement and employee retention work, y'all have no excuse. Anybody that's listening, right? I mean, these are and that's a company with 30 people. These aren't just case studies from companies that have 100,000 employees and HR budgets in the billions. No, no, no. I'm talking about small businesses. The smallest company in the book has 1 employee. Wait a second. 1, Joey? What am I going to learn from 1? Well, here's the thing, George. If you have 1 employee and you're about to hire your 2nd employee, you have a chance of ruining 50% of your organization in a single hire. If you've got 1,000 employees and you hire a bad apple, the mechanism, the organism can probably withstand that hit. If you've got 2 employees, 3 employees, 5 employees, you're in trouble, friends. Who is this book for, George? This book is for 2 categories of people. Number 1, leaders that recognize that in this competitive market, they could be doing better. They could be finding better talent. They could be keeping their talent. They've felt the pain of the great resignation or of quiet quitting, or they're smart enough to know that if they haven't felt it yet, the freight train is coming for them. Category number two is people who lead others, middle managers, department heads. Because guess what? When we talk about employee experience, there are eight phases that I outline in the book. The fourth phase, the middle of the journey, is your first day on the job. Some people are shocked. They're like, wait, Joey, there's three phases that happen before I even show up at work. Yeah, brother. And if you're not paying attention to those, day one, you're already in the hole. But more importantly, the phases that come after that first day on the job, the four subsequent phases, who's responsible for that? Because day one, usually, the responsibility falls on your head of HR. What about day two, day five, day seven, day 30, day 45? This falls on their direct manager. So if you're in the organization, you're saying, but Joey, I'm not on HR. Are you partially incentivized on the performance of your team? Do you get raises or promotion based on how your department or your group functions? If so, this book is for you. You can jump right in at the acclimate phase if you want to skip the first chapter. I'd love you to read the first chapters, but if you want to skip right into phase five, the acclimate phase, and start there, because that's when the employee becomes your responsibility, and I want you to succeed going forward. What's my big dream? My big dream is that people read this book and they take action. Here's what I mean by that. I believe there are three types of speakers and writers, George. You and I have talked about this before. There are folks that want you to think differently. There are folks that help you to feel differently. And there are folks that, if you're really lucky, compel you to act differently. And while I certainly want my audiences, my readers, to think and feel differently, George, if they don't act differently, I haven't earned their investment. Not only their $30 investment to buy the book, that's chump change in comparison to the hours they're going to spend reading the book and thinking about how they're going to enhance their experience and answering the questions I have in the book and downloading the worksheets and the checklist and the tools that I've made available so you can actually take this into your organization broadly if you're in the HR department or individually if you just run a tiny team. If you've got a tiny team, shake it up. Do stuff different within your operation. Blow the doors off. Draw attention to your team that way because your people stay. They're engaged. They're focused. They're productive. They're kicking tail and taking names. No, they're not even taking names. They don't have enough time. They're just taking initials because they're doing so much. If they act, I feel like I've won.
They're not taking names. They're just taking initials. OMG, Marketing Smarts listeners, I'm telling you, this episode. Here's the thing, Joe. I got to keep digging deeper, though, because in that last little piece, you said the word and my ears were like, ring-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding. You said tools. So now I have to ask, are there any tips, tricks, templates, hacks that the marketers, the companies, the humans can use when implementing this employee engagement, remarkable experiences, onboarding, 8-step, 4 R's process? Like, where should they head? What can they get in their hands to like actually do this in a better way?
All right, couple of things, George. Number one, when I was putting this book together, and I'm talking to all these amazing, remarkable companies around the world, I realized that one book is not enough space. There are limitations, but especially when you've got a traditional publisher, they're like, hey, 300 pages about the max. Nobody's going to sit and read 10,000 pages. But there were so many good stories and tools. So here's what I did. I created something I've never done before called The Vault. The Vault is where we keep ideas that matter. The Vault is where we keep valuables. The Vault is where we keep the things that will really move the dial. And if you read the book, you get free access to the vault. That's not a paid thing. You just sign up. You go to the vault. And in the vault are videos, checklists, templates. One of the things we put together in the vault, and it brings us back to those four R's we talked about earlier, right? The requirements, the roles, the responsibilities, and the relationships. There's actually a little mini survey in there that you can print out physically, hand to your team, and say, score yourself on this. And get an actual readback in real time about whether you are delivering on the four R's. It's kind of like the three R's growing up, reading, writing, and arithmetic. These are the four R's of business. Are you delivering on those things? There's videos in the tools. There are checklists. There are additional case studies that we couldn't fit in the book because I made myself a promise when I wrote the book, I would only tell one story per company. Here's something everybody listening knows. If you find an amazing company, they're good at more than one thing. Of course they are. They wouldn't be amazing and remarkable if they weren't. But I couldn't put all of it in the book. So you get the story behind the story. My goal is for this book to be evergreen. This is not a book you read once. This is a book you read, you put on your shelf, and you read again in a year. Some of my most loyal readers from my first book, Never Lose a Customer Again, have shared with me that they've read the book 5-6 times. They read it every year. Because when we read a book, we're reading it from the perspective of our reality at that moment. The economy, our experience, our team, what we're dealing with. When we read it a year later, different things stand out. So this is written to be evergreen and timeless so that it continues to be a resource to you going forward.
Man, oh man, oh man. Okay, so I want to go off the beaten path for a second because you mentioned a while back employee experience and you used words like tenure of the relationship in here, but way back a while ago, you said time after they are no longer employees. Joey, I have to have you unpack that portion of the conversation because I just don't know if anybody's thinking about that.
Most businesses aren't, George. Most businesses, when an employee comes in and says, I'm here to give you my 2 weeks notice, what it brings up in us as the person who's been told this is, you disloyal betrayer. How dare you? All the time, the effort I've invested in you, you're leaving? Or we think, oh my God, if this person leaves, we're going to collapse. This person's a linchpin in our organization. Quick, can I give you more money? Can I give you more benefits? Can I act like I care now because I wasn't caring before you walked in the door? That's usually what happens. There's a company called McKinsey & Company, which anybody who's been paying attention to kind of the high level of business strategy globally over the last 50 years has probably heard of McKinsey. They've got over 30,000 employees worldwide. And one of the things that McKinsey talks about during the interview, before you've even gotten a job offer, they talk about this in the interview, is the McKinsey Alumni Network. And what McKinsey talks about in all their marketing materials, anytime their managing partner is doing an interview or a podcast, they'll say something to the effect of, you know, we're really excited that there's a lot of McKinsey in a lot of other companies in the world. Because McKinsey employees go, they get connected, they learn a boatload of stuff, and then guess what? They go head companies. Oh, little companies you might have heard of, like Facebook and, Citi. And, you know, these amazing global organizations all over the world that their senior leadership team is staffed by former McKinsey consultants. Two powerful things happen, George. Number one, where do you think McKinsey gets its clients from? Oh, yeah, that would be their alumni that are referring people in. And if you're in B2B marketing, are you kidding me? If somebody on your team goes in-house at one of your big clients, you might be going, oh, they poached them from us. No, you just got an internal advocate. Who, if you've done a good job treating them well while they were on your team, now you've got a salesperson that's on their payroll. This is a no-brainer. But number two, they focus on maintaining that network. They have it said that anybody who's in the network can call on the network for help. So you're facing a problem, you can call a colleague who's dealt with it before. You can call someone on the other side of the world. You're expanding into Dubai. Guess what? There's 38 former McKinsey alumni operating on the ground in Dubai. You can go there and you've got a network built in immediately. The smartest organizations in the world, George, recognize that offboarding an employee is just as important as onboarding. If you have any appreciable amount of an onboarding strategy, I would ask you, do you have that same volume of strategy, intentionality, and touch points in your offboarding protocol? My gut instinct is you don't, and it's an opportunity for improvement.
So powerful. And by the way, Marketing Smarts listeners, I hope you heard these words. If you treated them well while they were there, that's when you have an internal advocate. Only then, by the way, does that become a viable, for our marketing speaking terms, lead generation strategy. So, Joey, I want to give you the opportunity to maybe share another success story or two. And so I'm just going to ask the question, the topic that we're covering today, what does success look like? How do we reach that point of nirvana in everything that we're trying to do around employees and experience and onboarding and offboarding and being human? Like, what does success look like?
For me, and I think success needs to be defined by every individual, by every leader, by every organization. You have to have a clear understanding of what your definition of success is. Because George, let's be candid, in this social media era, it's real easy to get sucked into someone else's success story. It's real easy to look on social media and see somebody vacationing in the Maldives and say, oh, that's success. Or see somebody driving their Maybach and say, oh, that's success. Or see somebody walking down the steps of a private jet, which, by the way, they rented for the photo shoot, but that's beside the point, and think, oh, flying private, that's success. No, success, friends, is how you define it. In the employer context, here's how I define success within my organization. I want my employees, while they're with me, to say, this is the best place I've ever worked. I am challenged. I am supported. I'm encouraged. I'm listened to. I'm valued. And I have unexpected moments of surprise and delight and experience that keep me coming back for more. But I also want them to, when their time with me is done, to say, you know, one of the coolest places I ever worked was for Joey Coleman. Because if I've done that, I've actually made an impact on their life. Most of us get into business, most entrepreneurs, most leaders get into business because we have an idea of how we're going to improve the marketplace. Our widget's going to be better. Our service is going to deliver more value. And we sell that. We market it. We share that. And that's great. And it's important. But I know very few people who on their deathbed say, gosh, you know, one of the things I valued the most in this life was that widget I bought from that company 15 years ago. Or, you know, one of the best things I ever had was that service contract that I signed up for an additional 12% of the overall fee to make sure I didn't have to worry about maintenance. No, they talk about the people. And if we are going to ask our employees to devote the bulk of their waking hours to us, we have a responsibility to make those hours remarkable.
Again, Marketing Smarts listeners, I hope you hit the rewind button because Joey started to list off things. And if you were to take those things and turn them into questions, and more specifically questions, am I doing this or enabling this at my organization? You will have yet another framework that I think will help you, what I'll say, almost be more self-aware of how you are actually impacting your organization as a leader. Joey, this has been a freaking fantastic episode. I'm going to ask you one last question. And honestly, the entire time I've been excited to get to this question just because of who you are. And that's this. We go through life, we have these journeys, and along the way, we pick up nuggets. I like to call these little nuggets of wisdom. And so the last question that I always ask on the Marketing Smarts podcast is, Joey Coleman, what words of wisdom would you want to leave the listeners today?
George, I've been so fortunate to have so many mentors, so many leaders, so many role models, people I've learned from, people I've watched, people I've tried to emulate. It's an incredibly, incredibly difficult question. What comes to mind, however, is a variation on a theme of an answer that I imagine is an answer that wouldn't necessarily come up when asked about words of wisdom. But I'll tell a little story about my mom. So my mom's an amazing woman. She grew up in an Air Force brat, lived all over the world, never lived in any one place for more than about 2 years. And then she got married to my dad and proceeded to raise 7 children. Yes, folks, you heard that, 7 children. Okay, she's a saint. And one of the things my mom has said for years, decades now, is if we knew the power of our words, we wouldn't speak. If we knew the power of our words, we wouldn't speak. I get paid to talk for a living. That's what I do. I'm a professional speaker. The words you say to your people, your teammates, your colleagues, your coworkers, your employees, your managers, your boss, your spouse, your significant other, your friends, your children, your parents, your siblings. The words matter. Be intentional with your words. Be specific with your words. Be careful with your words. And when your words come out in a way that you didn't intend, which, hello, welcome to being human, this happens to all of us, have the courage and the commitment to the people in your life to go to them and say, that's not at all what I meant to say. That's not at all how I meant to say it. I apologize. I hope you'll forgive me. What I was trying to say was this, and then speak from your heart. One of the things that both drives me crazy and gives me great hope in the world of B2B marketing is how little attention is paid to the words. When you think about what words are going to help us convert, what words are going to help us sell more, instead of what words are truth. I don't know about you, George, but when somebody speaks truth, the world kind of goes quiet for a second. Everything stops. It hits us in a different way. We don't just feel it in our ears. We feel it in our heart. We feel it in our gut. And that can be about a personal topic. It can be about a professional topic. It doesn't matter. Truth is truth. If we knew the power of our words, we wouldn't speak. But if you are going to speak, make sure you're choosing your words wisely.
So, Marketing Smarts listeners, did you take lots of notes? I have to ask, what is your hashtag one thing? Your number one execution opportunity after this podcast. Make sure you reach out and let us know in my inbox or on Twitter using the hashtag, MPB2B. Also, I have to ask, are you a free member of the Marketing Profs community yet? If not, head over to mprofs.com/MP today. You won't regret the additional B2B marketing education you'll be adding to your life. Hey, listeners, we'd like it if you could leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. But we'd love it if you'd share this episode with a coworker or friend. Until we meet in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast, where we talk with Jason Harris about decoding effective communication, understanding the essence of impactful connection, I hope you do just a couple of things. One, reach out and let us know what conversation you'd like to listen in on next. Two, focus on getting 1% better at your craft each and every day. And finally, remember to be a happy, helpful, humble B2B marketing human. And we'll see you in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast.